Hello?
Hi, Dr. Miller here. Sorry, I didn't see your message before, tell me.
Okay, so let me fill you in. So today was my nephew's bar mitzvah, and as it was beginning, my mother turned to me and said that she, in fact, was having a very sharp pain in her chest. So, one second. So,
Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi.
It happened to be one of the guests. My brother-in-law's brother is a pediatric cardiologist. And he came over and said her heart rate was very fast and recommended we take her to the Should I give you her number? They did. Okay. All right. I just got the phone with Mel, and I'm about to give a shear. I have to call Grandma Mizuno. Hello, everybody. I'll be back in 1 second.
All right. Hello, Shrivers. What's happening with you guys?
Hi. We're good. How are you doing, Tanner?
Great.
Good.
How are things in Denver?
Okay. I mean, you know, we don't see very many people, so.
Yeah, we don't get out much.
We don't get out much, yeah.
What kind of friendly people? I thought you were friendly guys.
Well, we are. I mean, but, you know, there's not a lot going on right now.
Right. How are the kids doing?
Thank God, everybody's good.
You just had a simcha someplace, didn't I? Yeah.
We haven't had it yet. We our son is engaged, so we're.
Mazel tov.
Thank you.
So who's the girl?
Her name is Mira Shear.
Miriam.
Mm-hmm. From?
From Indianapolis.
Indianapolis, of course. Where else do Jewish girls come from?
Who would have thought? Indianapolis.
Oh, the fine Jewish girls come from Indianapolis. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
They all escaped from Chicago, I guess, right?
Well, that's where she went to school, in Chicago.
All right. Can I kvetch a little? Can I kvetch a little before we start?
Sure.
Okay, this is just, I'm going to kvetch and then we can go on. Okay. I need to get this off my chest here.
Of course.
I'm going to hear.
I'm going to ask for twice as much now.
That's right. All that money we pay on Secret Service, you know, to take care of our former presidents here at the Eidos.
Well, it all goes to YU. Okay, I'm done.
There it is. Thank you. We appreciate it. It's an honor to have Talia. Thank you very much. Okay. Shmuel Beis Perek Yud. So Vayhi Acharei Kein Vayamas Melech B'nei Amon Vayimo Chanun B'no Tachtav. Very interesting story. So here we are. We had the story last time about Mephibosheth and Tziva, if you remember. Now this is unrelated to the last one at all. For some reason it announces it's right afterwards, give us an idea. And we learned that unfortunately or fortunately, the king of Ammon died. Ammon, of course, is right next to Israel, right? There is a city that is named after Ammon, which is in a neighboring country to Israel. What city is named after Ammon?
Amman.
That's correct.
I knew it too.
Yeah, you were just too slow. You got to buzz in quicker. So Amman, right? Amman is the capital of Ammon, Rabat B'nai Ammon. It maintains the name to this day. So obviously they were close. And David actually, as we'll see, felt quite close to the king of Ammon.
We
find out here that once the king of Ammon passed away, his son Chanun takes over. Vayomer David asa chesedim Chanun ben Nachash, kasher asa aviv imadi chesed, vayishal David Nachmo biyad avadav el aviv, vayavoh avdei David eretz b'nei Ammon. So he said, you know what? I'm really grateful for the chesed that his father did for me. We'll have to see what chesed did his father do for him. Therefore, I'd like to make a shiva visit. I'm going to send over, you know, representatives. We do this in America when an important head of state dies. We send the vice president. We send somebody important over, right? In case of Rabin, the president himself went to the Levaya. But in other cases, we'll send the vice president, we'll send ambassadors, we'll send some representative. So he said, I should do this. He said, you think David really liked your father? You think that this is just being friendly? No way. He's sending over his people to stake out the land. And he's going to use this opportunity, right? Your father was a veteran statesman. You're a rookie. He's going to come in. He's going to attack. Look, David's attacking everybody else. Chanun said, good point there. Vayika Chanun es avdei David vayigalach es chatzi zekanam vayichos es madveim vachatzi ashtoseim vayishalchem. He goes and he takes these dignitaries, shaves off half their beards, cuts off half their clothing, and sends them home like that. Vayegidu leDavid, vayishlach lekrasam ki hayu ha'anashim nechamim ma'od vayomer ha'melach shvu b'yirecho ad yitzmach zekech v'shavtem. He says they were embarrassed. Who's going to walk around with a half a beard? Look like a madman. So he says, go, take some time off, give your beard a chance to grow back, and then we'll deal with it. obviously David really meant good. He was not happy about this. Vayiru b'nei Amon ki nivashu b'David v'yishachu b'nei Amon v'yisachu es Aram b'in Rechov b'is Rechov es Aram tzova esrim elef ragli v'es melech ma'a elef ish v'ish tov shem asar elef ish. So he realized that, now I'm in trouble. He said, because they realized that David really did mean to do a chesed. David really did not mean to insult anybody. And now that they've
done... How did they know that?
What?
Because why did they change their minds?
See, somehow when he sees that David, you know, is very upset about what happened here, they caught on that maybe this was the wrong decision. So what are they going to do? If David
they knew all along, what? The king would always be upset. Any king would be upset if that's how you handled their couriers.
Right, but if their couriers were actually spies, you know, they might be more understanding of your reaction.
I see.
But if your couriers were exactly that, where they were couriers, then you probably would not take it as well. Let's get a little bit of a background here. Let's look at the source sheet of number one. The Medrash in Parshas Vayera tells us the background story. It's an important background story. He says, "Kasi re'acha v'rei avicha zech Chanun ben Nachash melech b'nei Amon." Chanun's father's name was Nachash, snake. Shenema v'hi acher ekein v'yomas Nachash b'nei Amon v'yomu David esach chesedim Chanun ben Nachash. So he quotes our pasuk, "Amar Abrachi b'shem Abrazim ben Pedas, ma chesed osu Nachash im David." He said, "What did Nachash ever do to David? We ever hear this guy?" Says, "Here's the story. We know half the story, but now we're going to find the other half."
He saved his relatives.
Correct.
His brother. I don't remember.
His brother. Also, Aviv Iradi Elok Shabarach David Mishal Halach David V'chol Beis Aviv Eitzel Moav. If you remember, when David was on the run from Shaul, he realized that Shaul might take out his anger on his family. He said, "I better get my family out of here." So what did he do? He took his family and he moved them to Moab. Why Moab? We discussed it. Who remembers?
The root is from there.
Right, because on the Baba's side, he's a member of the family. He figured he'd go to Moab, and Moab would protect him because his father, Yishai, right, was a descendant of Moab.
And Moab, how come he didn't learn from the Sparsha with Lavan? Lavan was his father-in-law and his uncle and related to Avram. And he also wasn't too happy with his son-in-law.
That son-in-law. Who's happy with their son-in-laws? Yehuda's a tzaddik. But the rest of the son-in-laws? come on. Son-in-laws, they have a bunch of headaches. Who wants us? Who needs son-in-laws, right? So in fact, David parked his family by Moab. By Yom El Melch Moab, Yatseinu Avi V'Imai, V'Kibu Osam. He says, "Sure, I'll take care of them." Kevin Shiyatu David, I'm a Melch Moab, V'Harag Avi V'Imai, V'Achiv Shal David. As soon as David left, the king of Moab wipes out the entire family. He kills his parents, kills his siblings. Only one survived. Shnemar Yehuda Elihu Me'achi David. Amar Rav Levi Yakoin Bar Charafta Shon Nishtayim Mehem Ela Echad Vehech Nimrat Elihu. How did this Elihu get away? Ela Barach Mi Melech Moav V'Halach Eitzal Nachash Melech B'nei Amon V'Kibro. He ran from Moav to Amon. What was the relationship between Amon and Moav?
They were cousins, related.
They were related. How were they related?
The roots from Lot.
Lot, correct. Right, they were both the sons of Lot. Right, they were very close to one another. They owned their lands, were right next to each other. Right, the lands of Amon and Moab. They were cousins. Right, they were actually brothers. We said for a while.
Sisters.
What?
Sisters.
No, they were brothers, Amon and Moab.
No, they're sisters.
Right, they were half-brothers. They're the same father.
Right.
They're the same father, and their mothers were sisters. Right. Their father happened to also be their grandfather.
All in the family.
All in the family, right? So Moav, this guy runs from Moav to Ammon. You'd expect that there's such a close connection between Ammon and Moav that he's going to give him over. So Moav says, you wouldn't happen to have David's last brother on you, would you? Maybe you have one of his brothers. I don't know what you're talking about. In fact, he protected him until David came to pick him up. He said, this guy saved the last member of my family.
Which brother was it?
I should at least make a Shiva visit. So the other, they didn't know this backstory. They said, what do you mean? You think David's a nice guy? Nechtik and Tug. He said, we're not allowed to convert. He doesn't like us. It says he's not allowed to make any treaties. What's he doing here being nice to us? So he can't be doing it. He's a religious man. He wouldn't be doing this. Ella, he must be, he's a spy. And that's why he did what he did.
So which brother was saved?
Elihu.
Elihu.
Elihu was the brother that was saved. Interesting. On the one hand, obviously they were wrong, but on the other hand, they have a pretty good point. If it says in the Torah that you're not allowed to make a treaty with Ammon and Moab, what is David doing here making a Shiva visit?
He doesn't have a lot of, he didn't have a lot of choices when he was being pursued by Shaul.
No, I'm talking about now.
Yeah, but why not? I mean, some of the Israelis, you know, went to do a Shiva call by the Palestinians.
Because they did, it doesn't make it right.
Well, the point is, I mean, these are people, and if you had some relationship,
so that's the question. The question is, you can't make a treaty. What does that mean? So let's take a look at the Medrash. Very interesting. The Medrash in Bamidbar, on the pasuk Sororas Hamidjanim, right after the whole story of remember, we were not happy with Moav. Right, because the whole Bilam thing was through Moav and Midian, and then Midian. What?
Bilam was not from Moav. Bilam was from our friend Laban up there.
But he was hired by Moav. Moav paid the bills.
Well, you know, it's like a good attorney. He represents whoever pays the best.
Okay, so therefore, the person who pays is the party in question here.
You don't have to shoot the
Midian. Right, and Midian also, if you remember, Midian afterwards took Bilam's advice, right? And he went, and they went, and they started the whole business with Cusbi and Zimri, and 24,000 Jews got killed. So it says there, Tzroras to Midian, Alfi Shekazin Ki Sikra V'Hili Lechem Olam V'Karasa L'Ele Shalom V'En Lo Sasu Keng V'Sidra Shalom V'Tov Osam. And usual, when we go to war, we offer peace first, not with these people. He said, in fact, don't make a mistake, the Medrash says. So you try to be nice to these people, you can end up in trouble. And what's the case? Who's the one who tried to be nice with them? David. Vezezeh? David. Ayoma David. I told you, don't be friends with them. You're making a Shiva visit. It's the wrong thing to do, Hashem said. Don't think that I think that it's morally the right thing. The Torah says don't do it, you don't do it. So See how it turns out in the end. In the end, look what happens. All these people are embarrassed, right? And now there's going to be a war. As it says, and ends up that we're having a war with Syria because of this. They hire three other nations to attack. What caused this? The Torah told you not to do this, David. This was your fault. Yes, Cantor.
Right. First of all, David had Nosson Hanovi there on his side to give him advice. And Aphiboshes was sitting at a table. We already covered him in the last chapter, who was his Rebbe. So surely he must have discussed it with them before he sent out his delegation. Must have been a...
It would seem not.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to understand it. I mean, even Trump sometimes gets an opinion from different people.
I think he gets most of his opinions from the horoscopes. That's what Ted told me. And I listen when Ted talks.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, see?
Go, Ted.
So, yeah, so we have here. So, in fact, according to this opinion, there's a problem here. Right? There's a problem here that he shouldn't have done this. Now, interestingly, if you look at the next source, at the Kesef Mishnah, the Kesef Mishnah says the opposite. Now, who wrote the Kesef Mishnah? Of Yosef Cairo. So that's an important opinion. This is the Shulchan Aruch. He says, Kosev Agos Maimon Shinemo Sidrosh, Kosev Rav Eliyahu Mizrachi, Bamed Varmun Bedrisha Sholom Dasar, Aval Tashlume Sholom Mutter. He said, you can't do them a favor, but to pay back a favor they did for you, you're allowed to do that. Right, in the event that they did a chesed to you, right? Somebody, a member of Ammon, so you can pay back the chesed by doing a favor for them. As it says, what's the source? Shenema vayomas melech bnei Ammon vayimo chanun b'no tachta vayomer David asa chesed im chanun b'nachash kasher asa im aviv yivadir chesed v'yishra dar nachamam. So he quotes this opinion that says that David was right. David would never violate the Torah. And if it says here that David that he did this, then it must have been the right thing to do. So therefore, you see that you should not on your own do them a favor, but if they've done you a favor, it's proper to pay them back. The Kesef Mishnah says that's really, really nice, but it's against the Medrash we just read in number two. So he says that's the problem here is that it seems to be against the Medrash. And it seems that even if they do you a favor, you can't pay them back.
I like Rabbi Caro, even though he's a Sephardi. I accept his rule.
Okay, I'm sure he's happy to hear that.
The Medrash is mythology, Rabbi.
Yes, yes, it's Zeus. It's Zeus and Hercules. That's what it is.
So now why bother with a Medrash? What, you know, it has no authority.
I think it's the story is that it's not mythology, and clearly it does have authority, because if the Shulchan Aruch says it has authority, I would take his word for it. Now the question is, well, weren't the other people aware of this Medrash? So if you look at the Ar Sameach in number four, right, this ends up being a major back and forth. How do we understand our Pesukim here? Was David right? Was David wrong? So the Ar Sameach says, "V'yeshu tomorrow, close to Kesef Mishnah, leishu tomorrow alzeh shamru b'chazal b'medrash, near beina chalasal medrash parshas Pinchas, she'ne'en nash David alzeh shevitir al divrei Torah ayin sham." So he says that that he says obviously it's for Tarmesh. Ach Yeshwama Dim also Imo Baasmo Chesed Mutabravadai. Raksham also Chesed Imo Aviv. So he says that's different. He said Nachash did him a favor. He said everyone would agree to pay back a favor to Nachash, that would be appropriate. The problem here is Nachash did a favor and now he's paying back Chanun. They're two different people. So that's what he's saying. He's saying that the reason why this was a problem is because he's not paying back the person who did the favor. He's paying it back to his sentence.
He's going to his son.
Right, but that's not him.
By the way, God pays back favors to the children because of the father. We get credit
all
from
the time.
Abraham Avinu.
So again, that's true. That's what Hashem does. But again, that when the halacha is that you're supposed to treat people in a certain way, so if they did you a favor and you're not supposed to, then that's one thing. But to say that it goes down to another generation, we're saying that's not true.
But he was not in the power to do the chesed at that time. Now that he's king, he's in the power. He's the president of the United States. So now he issues proclamations. It makes sense to me.
Right, that's the idea. But again, he could make a proclamation beforehand to do something for Nachash himself. But to do it for his son, that's what we're saying, that was where he went wrong.
He wasn't doing a favor. He was making a shiva call, basically. How is that a favor?
Again, well, that's showing respect. You know,
So what's wrong with showing respect?
Because it says that we're not supposed to have, you know, normalized relations with those nations. That's it. If I got up and I said, let's say theoretically, we discussed this, I think, two summers ago, that's it. We are never, ever, ever going to have normalized relations with Germany. Period. The Holocaust is the Holocaust, and we live and let live, but we will never, ever have an Israeli embassy in Germany, and we will never have a German embassy in Israel. Period. Let's say we would make that decision. Right? Would it be proper for us to send, you know, a representative, an ambassador to an inauguration in Germany? Would it be proper to send it to a funeral? No. The idea being that in the event that we have an announcement that we will never have normalized relations, we don't. And that's what they announced here with us and Amon. And you'll say, well, if they did a particular favor, you know, basic human decency is to say thank you. Yes, you say thank you to the person who did it, not to the next generation.
So you don't think if the prime minister of Germany died that Israel would send condolences?
So again, if there was a decision that we would never have normalized relations, they would not. Now, of course, this is all made up in my head. There never has been such a decision, and if I could guess, there is an Israeli embassy in Germany and vice versa. But in the event that we said, no way, never, never, For example, like, let's say hypothetically, Iran would say that they're never going to have normalized relations with Israel. You think they would send representatives to a funeral?
No.
I don't think so.
I'd
be surprised.
If they were sending somebody, it would be to spy out the land.
Correct. Either that or they'd have a explosive device strapped across their chest.
Right. Right. Contiguous.
Right. So again, that was the assumption here, you know. All right. One more source on this. One more person who discussed it. That would be the Minchas Chinuch in number 5 again. So this is an interesting question. If there's someone that you really have no relations with, what does that mean? If they do us a favor, do we pay them back? So the measure seems to say no. And that's what seems to be the opinion of the Kesef Mishnah. The Rav Eliyahu Mizrahi says yes. And the Or Sameach says we pay them back, but not future generations. The Minchas Chinuch, when discussing this halacha, that we don't have normalize political relations with Amon, says, "Siyam Harav Machaber ve'isser zeh bezucharim she'hem b'nei Mochama." So when the Sefer Achinuch quotes this halacha, he said it only applies to males and not females. So why? So the Sefer Achinuch has a totally different understanding. He says, if it's during time of war, you cannot make peace with them. You must wipe them out. However, during peacetime, there's nothing wrong with having normalized relations. So therefore, he thinks that David HaMelech did nothing wrong.
I think in Deuteronomy, it doesn't say you should destroy Moab and Ammon. You should not have, not to get involved, but you can't kill them. You can't declare war on Moab and Ammon.
You can declare war on whoever you want. There's then called the Milchemes Rishus. There's no limit to who we can declare war on.
No. You cannot.
I understand. War, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again.
Wait a minute, hold it. They couldn't even walk into the land of Moab. They were restricted. You should not cross over the borders. Even Moshe Rabbeinu's time already.
Well, no, we were allowed to go cross over the border. Yes, we couldn't at the time we couldn't start a war with them. However, if they started a war with us,
They didn't start the war with you.
Ultimately, we did take over their land.
Well, that's because you started a war.
We took over their land because they lost out to Sichon and Og. Sichon and Og beat them, and then we beat Sichon and Og. That's how we ultimately got their land. So, all right. So that's the story. David goes and he goes to war with them. And in fact, he sends a representative. He tries to be a nice guy, and as we say, no good deed goes unpunished. And this is not going to be an exception to the rule. This good deed will go punished as well. So, all of a sudden, Amon realizes what they did was really, really, really not a good idea. So because of that, they have no sword but to go all in. So they go and they start hiring different armies. And from far away, I'll note, right? Because we said Amon is located in Amman, right? That's Jordan. Aram, where's Aram?
Syria.
That's Syria. That's not so close, right?
So
they're going to go all the way up north, and they're going to hire people from there. They're going to hire Hessians to come down and fight on their behalf, because they realize once you get David upset, that's not a good place to be.
They could have thought about it in the beginning.
They should have thought about it in the beginning, right? Hindsight is 20/20. So, Pasuk Zayin. Vayishma David, Vayishrach es Yoav, Veis kol ha-tzavah ha-giborim. So David says, you want a war now? Oh, you're going to get a war. And he sends out Yoav, right, together with his army. Vayetzu b'nei Amon, Vayachu mechoma pesach ha-shar, Va'aram tzova, Urechov, Ivi'ishto, V'machol, Levanim basoda. So, on the one hand, you've got the Amon are staying, they're coming from Jordan. And then you have these hired people coming from the other side. Now, Yoav realizes he's going to have to fight this war on two different fronts. He says, okay, Vayar Yoav, ki hoysa elav p'nei ha-melchama mi-panim u-me-achor, vayivcha mikol b'achor Yisrael, vayarach l'kras Aram. He says he's being attacked from the front and the back. Right, he came to fight them, and there he hired people in the back. He said, all right, we're going to do it. We'll do what we have to do. So he gets the best people with him. And Now, just note, most of us are familiar with the name Avishai. Yes? Have you ever heard the name before?
Yes.
Look closely at that pasuk. What's his name?
Avishai.
Avshai.
Avshai. Right? His name is not really Avishai in this case because there's no yud. So interestingly, if you look at number 9 on the seat, on your chart, right? Number 9 is a Rashi from Divrei Hayamim, and it says Biyat Avishai, Avishai, L'chol shekol Divrei Hayamim k'siv Avishai, v'gam Avishai Karinin. So if you look at Divrei Hayamim, he's always called Avishai. He said, "Levad me'ed l'shem shiyatzu min akal al pi amisora l'kach b'chol ha'sefer." As the Avishai shekol sefer as the nechta b'shvil kvodo shel David, v'in ze kvodo sheyikru leven achoso Avishai, the mashre gam ani choshev kedavid. Now he says that in general in Divrei Hayamim, he's always called Avshai without the extra yud. However, almost always in Shmuel he's called Avishai. So the word Avishai is split, it can be split into two words, and that is, how would you split it?
Avishai. My father, the...
What would you say, Judy?
Avi. I said brother.
So right, so his name would be Av Yishai.
David.
Av Yishai. Right? Now, who was Yishai?
His father.
Father of David. Right? Yoav and Avishai were the son of Tzeruya. Who was Tzeruya?
David's sister.
David's sister. So by comes of Avishai, he said, well, I too am a son of Yishai. David, you're not the only guy who's the son. I also come from the same family. I am also important. So therefore, when we're discussing him being a leader, we always knock him down a rung. We take out the extra yud, and he's not Av Yishai, but Avshai.
By the way, you know, a grandson can be named after the Zaydi, particularly if he died already.
Right. Well, he was alive at the time. Again, if you're a Sfardi,
right. So either way, he's qualified to use the name.
All right, so he says, so this is one of the rare times when he's called Avshai, because again, since he's going to be a leader here, we take away a yud. So he says that Avshai and Yov, the two brothers, they split the army and say, okay, you take care of one flank, I'll take care of the other flank. And he says to him, Yud Aleph, Vayomer, im techezak arami meni v'oysali reyeshua, v'im b'nei amo yachzat mimcha v'arachti reyoshirocha. He says, if I'm having trouble with Aram, you're going to help me. And if you're having trouble with Ammon, I'm going to help you. Meaning that whichever of us is having an easy time on his front will then come and help the other one on the other front. Chazak v'nis chazak v'yad amenu v'ad arei Eloheinu v'adonai yaseh atol be'enav. Anybody familiar with that pasuk?
Yes.
Yes, where?
It's Trumpeldor.
Trumpeldor, yeah, that is correct. Now that is a great Zionist.
Yes.
All right.
And I was there.
You were there.
I went.
Did you hear it from him?
State in the big letters.
Yeah.
It says so right there.
Right, that's exactly, this is the pasuk that Trumpeldor would always announce going out, that you have to be strong. It's not chazak v'nis chazek. Look closely, the cantor. Chazak v'nis chazak. It's interesting, yekes, at the end of the sefer, don't say chazak, chazak v'nis chazek. They say chazak, chazak v'nis chazak. Because they rely on this pasuk, because the word is nis chazak, not nis chazek. So, this pasuk, this is the source of it, Trumpeldor's famous words. Glad to see that someone here, there's still a few good Zionists left.
He didn't use a rei alakenu. The other tzenu, the other man.
Right. He wasn't as a former. There was a wonderful woman that passed away 2 years ago. She used to come to us almost every Shabbos, and she fought in Etzel. And she was a big follower of Jabotinsky.
Huh?
So she would get very very excited about these types. And in fact, her code name was Glilit, but her sister's code name was Trumpledora.
Trumpledora,
the Triple Explorer, as we called her.
Interesting names.
May I ask who that was?
Her name was Chaya Gordin. Chaya Gordin was a wonderful woman. Chaya Gordin was actually the woman who smuggled the dynamite into Akko prison to blow it up.
Oh, how fair. Was she
brave? Wouldn't it be for her, Marcia?
Uh-huh.
Paul Newman would have never gotten out.
He wouldn't have been a star, yes.
He would still be in Akko prison if it wasn't for her. For those of you who,
I think so.
I think next Eidos movie that we have to watch Exodus again.
Did she have family here, Rabbi, in Denver?
She left a daughter and two grandsons.
Oh, really?
But they, so actually her daughter lived in California and she had a grandchild in Montana.
Oh, really? Here. Really, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting. Oh, what a brave woman.
So there she is, Trumpledora. So, Vayigash
Yoava.
Vayigash Yoava Amar Sherimol Milchama Ba'aram Vayanusu Mipanav. Yoav goes and he goes after the people from Aram. The Aram were hired guns. They wanted nothing to do with this. That's what happens. You get what you pay for. As soon as they saw that they were going to get fired, they ran back to Syria. Gone. So much for that.
Yeah, but they lost a lot of soldiers and horses.
Yeah, because they right away they their heart wasn't in it. Uvnei Amon ro ki nos Aram vayanus mipnei Avishai vayavo ha'ir vayashav Yoav me'al bnei Amon vayavo Yerushalayim. And once they lost their protection, they turned around and they ran away also. But they're not going to get away so easy with it. And Aram saw that B'nai Yisrael was coming after them. They had no choice. Now they were really in trouble. So now Aram got pulled into the war, and Hadarezer had to go and fight this war.
Who is he, and where is he coming from?
Well, he's from Aram. He's the one who rented out the 20,000 soldiers.
Got it. Okay, I just don't know that name.
Okay. Vayugad l'David vayasef es kol Yisrael vayavor es hayarden vayavo chelma vayarchu Aram likras David vayachmo imom. So now there was a war between Aram and B'nai Yisrael. This is how the world works, right? It started off by David wanted to do a favor, and then Amon blew it. So Amon hired Aram. So Aram came for the money. Now Aram's got a war on his hands. Nothing to do with Amon anymore. David me Aram sheva meos rechev v'arba'im elef parashim v'shovach tzartzava hikav hayam hasham. So they wipe out 40,000 soldiers, 7,000 chariots. And also the general. They're all gone.
700 chariots.
700 chariots. That was right. That's it. Vayu kol malachim avdei Hadarezer ki nigfu b'vnei Yisrael vayashlimu es Yisrael vayavdum vayur Aram v'oshia od es b'nei Amon. So with that, everybody else quickly makes a peace with David, and they, which peace means that they became vassal states. They paid money for protection, and Amon knew that they could never count on them again. Now, whatever happened to Amon here, right? Amon cuts off the beards. It's interesting, but by the way, I was looking into, that's an odd thing to do. I really didn't find much. The one thing I found, which I thought was interesting, but the source wasn't a great source, was when you show up to make a Shiva visit. So the people, of course, traditionally not Jewish now, but even non-Jewish in those days, is mourners wouldn't shave. So to show that you really don't care about our mourning, that's why they shaved off half their beards.
I see. That makes sense.
Right. So that's a thought I saw out there. So now, but whatever happened to, so Amon ends up in a war. We see that Aram got wiped out, but what happened to Amon? We don't see that. We see that Amon was chased back to their cities. We know that Amon no longer has any protection, but I don't know what happened to Amon themselves. Did David attack them? So this is very interesting. In 7 Perakim from now, a little bit of a spoiler alert, David's going to be in trouble. But he's going to be on the run, and some people are going to visit him to save him. If you look at number 6, it says, Vayikavo David machanayma, Vishovi ben Nachash me'rabas b'nei Amon, u'machir ben Amia miro dolar, u'barzi rai gerodi me'ro glim. So David's on the run, and 3 people come to greet him to help him out. The first one is a guy named Shovi ben Nachash from Rabat b'nei Amon. Rabat b'nei Amon is Amon, right? Nachash is the father of who?
Of the current king.
Of the current king, right? So Rashi says that Shovi ben Nachash, who Hanun ben Nachash. In fact, not only does he survive this, but he becomes a great friend of David's, and in David's times of need, he comes out to help him. David spares him. He says, listen, you made a bad decision here, but I'm still grateful for what your father did. So I'm not gonna attack you. Just don't ever try that again. And in appreciation, Amon becomes a staunch ally of David's. If you look at the Radaka number 8, it goes one step beyond. Rishovi ben Nachem Yashon Yisrael Haya. So it says that this is a Jew, and he lived in Amon. So the Radak says, I have a hard time believing that David didn't kill this guy. It has to be someone else. I can't accept that Rashi says it's the same guy. The Radak says the only way the devil would have let him live is if he converted. So according to the Radak, the appreciation for David, for the fact that David really reached out in friendship, was he actually the king of Ammon converted to Judaism.
If that's the case, why don't we go over to the other side and they bring him back in?
So again, well, we don't have to capture everything. That's right. Just because there's Jews that live in Brooklyn doesn't mean that Israel has to capture it.
No. That's maybe what they need to do. Solve the Middle East problem. Get them all to be converted. You know, half Jews, 3/4 Jews.
Right, yeah. 7/8. So interesting that David HaMelech, just to wrap up the parak here, so David HaMelech, in fact, you know, tried to be a nice guy. We discussed whether it was a good idea or a bad idea. That's a matter of discussion. Different opinions on what he did was right. Ultimately, it turned out bad. It led to war. And Amon, in its panic, hired Aram. This led to David wiping out Aram. Right? Having a crushing victory over them, handing them a crushing defeat. But Amon, we don't see that he did that. Rather, with Amon, right, he went and he beat them in war. But the king of Amon became a staunch ally of his, for sure. And perhaps he even converted. Very interesting.
So let me make sure I'm understanding. Are you saying Hanun turns into... who converts?
Yes.
Okay, because it got a little lost in the storytelling.
Right. Chanun is also known as Shovi, and he converts.
Oh, that's why I'm confused. Okay.
Is he allowed?
All right. Next week's a big week. Next week we get introduced to anybody? Batsheva.
So was he allowed to convert? I thought they weren't allowed to convert.
Right. So that's a good one. So how was he allowed to convert? That's a good question.
He went to the rabbi in New York.
I don't have a good answer for it.
He went to the rabbis in New York.
Ah, you can always find the rabbi out there who's willing to do it.
You got it.
For the right price. All right. Until next week.
Hope you're. I'm glad your mother's okay.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. All the best.
By the way, I want to point, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah.
What's written on the dollar bill over there that all become one?
E pluribus unum.
Yeah. So that's from today's parsha.
That's what I say in Yiddish.
Funala medena.
Yeah.
So that's from today's parsha.
Today's parsha. Today's Sunday.
Yesterday. Today he had the bar mitzvah. Didn't you have the bar mitzvah?
Oh, okay.
Today? So in Vayetze, what did the rocks do?
From the rocks. They
all became one. See?
Yeah. I thought it was in God we trust. In God we trust. All others pay cash. Okay. All right.
Thanks. Have a great week.
All the best. Thank you.